will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 1, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 21, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to please join me every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., either in person or wherever you are, to pray fervently for America, that Jesus be our Lord and the Bible our book. You're also invited to come to the live radio broadcast taping each Sunday at 5 p.m. I am in Suntree, Florida, right beside Scott Merson's produce place. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Acts chapter 21, verse 1. As always, I ask the Lord to show me his heart. So from God's heart to my heart, to your heart, here's his title. 4-4-4. Four virgins, four dynasties, four vows. Four virgins, four dynasties, four vows. As our curtain opens, we see that Paul and company are leaving the church of Ephesians and about to sail all over the place teaching the word of God.
And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and launched, we came with a straight course to Coaz, and the day following to Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. Verse 2. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. 3. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed unto Syria and landed at Tyre.
Now they sail and sail and they get to a place called Tyre. It was a little rock island. Interesting. King Tyrus is the name of the devil. In Ezekiel chapter 28, Lucifer, one of his names was called King Tyrus. So this is a little rock. A lot of these people are the children of the devil. They are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil when he beguiled Eve in the garden. Now, Tyre then was the world trade center. Ships would go there and unload and just take on all kinds of commerce.
For there the ship was to unload her burden. 4. And finally, disciples, we tarried there 7 days.
But good, Paul found some Christians there, so he stays with them.
Who said to Paul in the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem?
Now, Paul was on his way up to Jerusalem because, remember, Paul had taken the vow of a Nazarite. That is that one seeks to serve God better and seeks to love God better. And in Bible times, that meant that you would go up to Jerusalem at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. So Paul was on his way to Jerusalem. However, these Christian disciples at Tyre said, Paul, we believe the Holy Spirit tells you not to go. Now, Paul had made a vow to God to go. When you make a vow, you keep it, even if it means danger. Now, when someone tells you, look out, maybe you shouldn't do what you think God told you to do, test the spirits. Is it flesh or is it spirit? These people think it's a spirit saying, Paul, don't go. But Paul had promised God to go. What it is, they love Paul, and their emotion means, Paul, we feel you're going to be in danger. See, the person who loves you most, your mommy, your daddy, your spouse, your best friend, can keep you from obeying God. Is it flesh or is it the spirit? This was flesh. They were good people, but they were not led by the Holy Spirit.
5. We had accomplished those days, we departed and went on our way. brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed.
They loved Paul, and he loved them.
6. And when we had taken our leave one from another, we took ship, and they returned home again. 7. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day. 8. And the next day we, that were of Paul's company, departed and came to Caesarea.
Now they're in Caesarea. The we there is Luke. God is using him to write the book of Acts. So this means Paul and company. They're at Caesarea.
And entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7.
You might remember in Acts chapter 6, when the church was first being formed, Peter and James and John and all the apostles, it was so much work they had to do, the word and prayer. And that's the call, that's the highest calling, the word and prayer. They just didn't have time to do the grunt work, to feed the people and clean the church toilet. So they appointed 7 men who were called of God, who knew the word, who had the Holy Spirit. And these 7 men would clean the church toilet and feed the people and mop the floor. And one of those 7 was Philip.
And abode with him. 9. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy.
Philip has 4 daughters. That means they were clean and pure, virginal, and they did prophesy. That means they had the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word. The 4 women preached the word. Now, God always refers to his church, his saints and sanctified set-apart ones, in the feminine gender. We are the she, and God is the he. We are the bride, and he's the bridegroom. Understand?
Yes.
Okay. Now, even in Isaiah chapter 62, in the eternity, God says your land's going to be called Beulah. That means we're going to be married to God. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. And he's going to call us all Hephzibah. It means God delights in her. So now, spiritually speaking, you, body of Christ, men, women, boys, and girls, Paul says there's neither male nor female, you are now one of these 4 daughters. God calls you the daughter of Zion. You are Philip's daughters, men, women, boys, and girls, saved, sanctified. What does Philip's name mean? It means lover of horses, but horses means power. In Revelation 19, Jesus is coming back on a white horse, coming back in power. So now everybody who's under the sound of my voice, what does the 4 mean? The 4 corners of the earth. So everyone on the 4 corners of the earth, male and female, men, women, boys, and girls, who are saved, sanctified, set apart for holy use, you are the daughter of Zion. You are one of these virginal daughters, because virgin means clean. You're untouched by sin. There's no sin can touch you. Now, you are the daughter, men, women, boys, and girls, of the omnipotent God, all-powerful God. Why are you a virgin in the Spirit? Because Jesus took your unclean, filthy sins on his back and left you clean. We were all touched, molested, raped by sin, and Jesus took the sin from us and made us virginal again. In the Bible, Jesus is called the scapegoat. The children of Israel, before Jesus would come, would take their sins and put them on the back of a scapegoat, and they would pat him on the behind, and he would go off into the wilderness and die. Their sins were gone forever. The sins were never to be remembered anymore. When Jesus died on the cross, he took your sins, and they're in the sea of forgetfulness. They are gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that makes you virginal.
Amen.
You are one of the 4 virginal daughters because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of your sins. Why the blood? The life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. You see, when you were raped by the sinful devil, spiritually speaking, sin entered in your body, and you have all kind of diseases in there, and you're impure. You have a disease of sin. But Jesus' blood goes in there and purifies your sin and makes you pure and holy again.
Amen.
You are the pure virgin of God, men, women, boys, and girls, because of the Word of God, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. You are washed with water by the Word of God. Paul says this in Ephesians. So this is why I strongly suggest every day of your life, study the Word, pray the Word, live the Word, grow in the Word. That water will keep you clean so that you will not be molested or raped or touched by the evil rapist, old Satan himself. You're washed with water by the Word of God. That keeps you virginal. That keeps you pure.
Amen.
That keeps you clean.
Amen.
And you are one of those virginal daughters, men, women, boys, and girls, saved, sanctified, Church of God, because you are led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. Truth is the Word, and the Word is pure. So does everybody understand the four corners of the earth, every man, woman, boy, and girl who's saved, sanctified, set apart for holy use, having surrendered your all to Jesus, you are one of these four virginal daughters.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus.
Now, a real prophet comes down from Judea. His name is Agabus. Agabus means locust. He's a real prophet, and he's going to tell the daughters, the virginal daughters, about the locust army of Joel chapter 1. The locusts have four stages, but they are called the four hidden dynasties of the devil. They are operating in America right now to destroy us. Agabus, the prophet, the true prophet, will tell you this about the locust army, the four hidden dynasties. First of all, the political system of the about to appear, the Antichrist. They're the leftist, socialist, Marxist, communist party, and they're coming to take you away from God and keep you from worshiping God. The second part of that dynasty of the political system of the locust army would be economical. You see, when they say they're going to give you free stuff, the leftist, socialist, communist, Marxist party, no, 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 no. They're going to make you a slave, and you will have to be totally dependent on the government. It's a lie. The third dynasty there is the educational system of the Antichrist. It is alive and sick. Our children don't even know what America's about. They'll be taught that evil is good and good is evil. They're even told that they don't have to be a boy or a girl. They can be any gender they want when God said he made us male and female, period. And so we have this system now. And then we have the fourth, the religious system of the Antichrist, the fourth dynasty, which is the worst of all. Joe Biden says, what I'll do about the virus is I'll ask the scientists. You know, the scientists who tell us climate change? So they say worship the climate instead of the worst person, the God who orchestrated the climate, the God who created the climate. So you see, Agabus is the true prophet. He's operating by the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. And he's come to tell Paul, one of the four daughters, and you, that you don't have to be afraid, you're virginal, but you must know about the four hidden dynasties, the four stages of the locust army operating all around us. Do you understand?
Yes.
11. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet.
A girdle in the Bible is your belt. It holds your breeches up. In Ephesians chapter 6, God tells us to put on the gospel armor. And one of those things is to gird your loins with truth. Now he takes Paul's belt, that's a girdle, and Paul is wrapped in truth because Paul is a daughter of Zion. Paul is Hesabah. He's saved and sanctified, and he has the truth. But Agabus, who knows about the locust army and has come to tell the daughters that, and Paul says, I'm going to bind my hands and my feet with this belt. Why?
And said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Eudas of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.
Now that Eudas is not our brother Judah. That would be those who say they're Judah but are not. Jew is incorrect, so I always say Eudas. Now he's prophesying, and he says, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be delivered into the religious system, that dynasty, the scribes and Pharisees, and you are going to be in real trouble. Now, notice that Agabus didn't say, don't go. See, the first disciples said, don't go, we love you. They were operating from emotion, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the trouble you're about to walk in. But you see, he warns you of it, but see, he doesn't tell you not to go there. If he tells you to go into the fiery furnace, you go, but you won't burn. If he tells you they're going to drown you, the water won't drown you. But the Holy Spirit warns you, but he did not say, don't go. So he was operating by the Holy Spirit. Always test the spirits. Is it flesh or is it the Holy Spirit? This was the Holy Spirit.
12. And when we had heard these things, both we and of that place, besought him not to go up to Jerusalem.
We is Luke and the other disciples there with Paul. They say, Paul, please don't go. We love you. You're going to get in trouble. You might get killed. They love Paul, but that's the flesh. Remember, Paul had a vow to go. And when you make a vow to God, you keep it, even if it kills you.
13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but to die also at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Paul would write, I die daily. I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. And Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, fear not him who can kill your body. Rather, fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. Yeah. No greater love is this that a man lay down his life for his friend. You're here on assignment, daughters of Zion, Hephzibah, Virgil, men, women, boys, and girls. Your life in the flesh is one tiny little dot. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. Because you have all eternity Amen. To live in Father's house.
Amen.
14. And when he would not be persuaded, they ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Aren't you glad Jesus said in the garden, nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. O virginal daughters of Zion, surrender your will to God. Teenagers, boys and girls, men, women, submit your will to His, and you will fulfill your destiny. You'll fulfill your purpose, and you will have joyous rewards in heaven.
15. And after those things, we picked up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem.
Carriages, we took our luggage, our baggage, and up they go to Jerusalem.
16. There went up with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge.
Old doesn't mean he was old in age. It means he had been a Christian a long time, so they get to stay with him.
17. And when we would come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly.
Peter and John and James and Andrew and all of those were so glad to see Paul and company. It's such a sweet thing to be with people of a like-minded spirit.
Amen. 18. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present.
Now, this James is not the brother of John. Remember, Herod killed him. This is James, another disciple, James, the son of Alphaeus. The elders are all those other disciples. So they're all there in Jerusalem together with Paul.
19. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry.
Paul tells Peter and John and all of them that not only has the gospel been opened up to the house of Israel, but whosoever will may come, the Gentiles can be saved.
20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord.
They were so happy because, you see, every true sanctified, saved, set apart daughter of Zion, Hephzibah, men, women, boys, and girls, we want everybody to be saved.
Amen.
And said unto him, thou seest, brother, thou seest how many thousands of Eudas which believe.
Now, they said, Paul, a lot of the tribe of Judah, the real Judah, they've accepted Jesus. That's good.
And they are all zealous of the law.
But they are still thinking they've got to do all of the blood ordinances and everything of the law. Now, Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it. You're still supposed to not steal and not kill and all that kind of stuff. But what Jesus did, he did away with some of the blood ordinances, like circumcision.
21. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Eudas which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses.
No, he didn't.
Saying that they ought not to circumcise their children.
Okay, circumcision after Jesus came is of the heart, not of the flesh. In other words, that ordinance was nailed to the cross. What these new converts of the tribe of Judah, they'd accepted Jesus as the Messiah, but they thought they were saved Jesus plus works. See, we're saved only by the grace and faith in Jesus Christ. Works become very important after you're saved. So they were still trying to go by that. But Paul had told the new converts, don't let me get you all troubled up with all of that. Just get them saved, first of all. But see, they were a little bit disturbed at Paul. They thought he was kind of messing up the law of Moses. Not so.
Neither to walk after the customs. 22. What if it therefore the multitude must needs come together?
But Peter and John say, Paul, we've got to get peace with all of us. We've got to do something to bring the church together as one.
For they will hear that thou art come. 23. Do ye therefore this that we say to thee.
So they said, Paul, we've got an idea. We're going to ask you to join four men who have taken the vow of the Nazarite. Of course, Paul did join them. Go in with them and let them know and let the new converts of Judah know that you approve of this, and then they will know that you're not forsaking the law of Moses.
We have four men which have a vow on them. 24. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them.
Now remember our title, Four Virgins, Four Dynasties, Four Vows. You are the virginal daughters, men, women, boys, and girls, saved and sanctified, set apart for holy use. You have power over all the power of the enemy, of the four hidden dynasties, the elect. But the reason is because now you don't take the vow of the Nazarite, that was in Bible times. You take the vow of the Nazarene, Jesus the Nazarene. What is that vow? Number one, the first vow, you trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Amen. This whole Christian walk is trust and faith. See, you say, pray for me, and then you don't believe. And you ask God to do something, and you don't believe. You see, we got to walk by faith. We trust. So your first vow is say, trust in the Lord. Everybody say, I trust in the Lord.
I trust in the Lord.
That's your first vow. The second vow is to grow in the Word. You don't want to stay on level one. You want to grow from a baby Christian to a mature Christian. So you are growing in the Word. You're walking in the Word. That's your second vow. The third vow is to be led by the Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, be so sensitive to it, you turn on a dime and obey. And the fourth vow is to surrender your all to Jesus. All to Jesus, I surrender. That means all of your love and all of your three T's, all of your time, all of your tithe. Yes, one-tenth is God's. And all of your talents. Do you know that God gives every little baby that's born in the flesh a talent? Every one of you has some kind of a talent. The talent points you to God's destiny for your life. And I've learned the talent will also provide your necessities, food and clothing and shelter. Now you say, wait a minute, I don't know about my talent. Well, let's go to the sandbox. Let's look at four daughters of Zion, virginal daughters in the sandbox. They're going to be two little girls and two little boys. This first little girl in the sandbox, this baby, is making mud pies. But she doesn't slap it all over everybody else. She's really neat about it. I mean, she pats it, she fixes it, she puts it in a circle. It's so perfect. She sees an acorn over there. She takes the acorn and she puts it right down in the middle of her mud pie. That's the cherry on top. And then she gets some grass and she takes a little blade and she decorates her mud pie. It's so pretty. Look at that. Now, let's look at that little girl years later. Will she form a business called Christ Cakes with Bibles on top, Ten Commandments on top, crosses on top, taking those cakes to nursing homes, celebrating Jesus? Now, we see a little boy in the sandbox. He loves cars. He's driving that car everywhere. Drive, drive, drive. Hey, little girl with a mud pie, you want to ride my car? He just loves that car. Now let's look ahead at his destiny. Will that little boy form a company called the Caring Car Company? He will use his car to carry handicapped, disabled people to get their supplies. He will carry shut-ins for a drive around the block to get them out of the four walls. The Caring Car Company. Let's go back to the sandbox. Here's another little girl in here. She's cleaning that sandbox. Ooh, she's just sweeping it clean. She doesn't take it and throw it all over the place. If there's a little bit of dirt there, she just takes it out. She just caresses that sandbox. Let's look ahead. Will she create a business called Christian Cleaners? And when she cleans your house, your church, your business, your car, she will pray over every inch of it. She won't just be cleaning and flushing. She'll be praying. It's a work of art, her destiny. And wherever she goes, that anointing will follow her. There's another little boy in the sandbox. He sees a weed there. It's about to die. Anybody else will pull it up. He pulls off the dead leaves. He pours some water on the weed. He puts some dirt around it. And lo and behold, the weed lives. When he grows up, will he create a business called Father's Fruit Trees? When I was a tiny tot, I had Aunt Zelma and Uncle Walker. They loved the Lord and they loved me. They had founded a church. My Aunt Zelma, before I was 3 years old, when I began to talk there, taught me the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then she and Uncle Walker picked me up at 3 years old, put me up on the church platform for all those people, and I began my destiny. I taught the word of God before people. I said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That wasn't all. She taught me the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and books of the Bible. And she taught me that long, long, long classical poem. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. When I did my Christmas carolongs in Cocoa Village, I would put on a costume and perform that. But that's not all. My Aunt Zelma and Uncle Walker founded a church and they needed somebody to play the piano. I was learning. So I played the piano and sang. But that was not all. Uncle Walker, every time the preacher didn't show up, he would say, get up there and teach us. And I would teach Sunday school. I would teach the Bible in prayer meeting. And when I was 15 years old, the preacher didn't show up. And I got up there and I taught Daniel chapter 5. Meaning, meaning, check on your fathers without weighing the balance of found wanting. That was in me. And they pulled it out of me. Now, many years later, I would go in and work my way through college and Bible Institute. And God told me, I would study those subjects. God told me to found a school. So I founded a school called the Sherry Medlock School of Music, Speech, Bible, and Manners. And they came by the hundreds, tiny tots and grown-up people. And I would watch shy little people and shy grown-ups. God would help me find their talent. And they would turn from the inside out, because there's nothing that gives you more confidence than doing what God made you to do. Yeah. There were hundreds of examples. One little boy, he's so cute. He was so talented. He would read the scriptures and he played the piano so good. Today, he is a band teacher in a high school. Yeah. And he uses all of his talent in his church. His mother was watching. And she said, do I have any talent, Sherry? I said, let's check it out. She became an anointed gospel singer, singing with the power of God. Amen. Another man came and brought his teenage daughter to study piano. To inspire her to practice, he said, Sherry, I'm old, but maybe I ought to study piano. Maybe she'll see me practicing, she'll practice. Lo and behold, that man got to play all the great hymns of the faith, the old rugged cross. Look at that. And on and on and on they came. Now, about 4 years ago, before I came to Suntree, I was walking in a room in my School of Music, Speech, Bible, and Manners, my school in Cocoa. The Holy Spirit stopped me dead in my tracks by a tambourine that was hanging on the wall. The Holy Spirit said, give that tambourine to Olivia. Now, Olivia was the beautiful little girl of Scott Merson, our announcer. I knew Scott. He was a great man of God. Olivia had just started coming. I did not know anything about her, but I obeyed. It was her birthday, so I gave her the tambourine, and I also gave her one of my mallets to play my xylophone. Today, Olivia, at 15 years old, is the world's most famous drummerette. She plays the drums at the Firebrand Band. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, does that mean that God's destiny for Olivia is to be a drummer? Not necessarily, but this I know. The purpose and destiny for Olivia Merson is she is called and chosen. Her life is not her own. She is to walk in the perfect rhythm of the heartbeat of God.
Amen. Amen.
Olivia has grandparents who were teachers, Scott's parents. One of her grandparents, Scott's mother, taught kindergarten. This came to me. Maybe Olivia is going to create a Christian kindergarten. She could call it the Lamb School for Little Lambs. Is that great?
Amen.
And she could teach them Bible. She could teach them Jesus. And Olivia could play her drum while those little tiny tots marched as soldiers of the cross for Jesus. Amen. Just a thought. But in my school, Olivia had a brother, Maximilian Merson. I took one look at Max and I saw God all over him. Max's life is not his own. Max is chosen and called. Everything about him is God. And so Max reads Proverbs and prays before every one of our services. Look at that. Amen. Tiny tots. From a baby, you have that talent. Now, it's never too late. Even if you've retired, maybe that talent has lain dormant in you. But whatever that talent is, it is your destiny. So right now, look for that talent and take those four vows. Because you trust in the Lord, you've taken the four vows. Because you grow in the Word, because you're led by the Spirit, because you surrender your all to God, love, time, tithe, talent. You have victory over the locust army, over the four dynasties of the Antichrist, because you are the virginal daughter of Zion. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida, man of God, Olivia and Max's father, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Awesome, awesome, awesome teaching.
Today. Awesome teaching. God's word is great. Amen. Only God could do that, you know.
Amen.
I myself do nothing. The Father within, he doeth the work.
Amen.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Matthew 25.
The wise were the four daughters there. Yeah, that is
amen.
So great. Thank you, Scott.
You're
thank
welcome,
you for Scott's
Sarah.
Stuff.
Thank you.
In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, I want to pray for anyone who's not saved. If you're not saved, I love you. God loves you. We want you to live with us forever and ever
amen.
In the great, joyous amen. Kingdom of Jesus Christ. Pray this prayer with me. Mean it. And you can be saved right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
And use me.
And use me.
To enhance the kingdom of God.
To enhance the kingdom of God.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for anyone out there in cyberspace, if you prayed that, the Bible says you're supposed to tell someone confession is made to salvation. I lovingly invite you to tell me. In a little while, you'll hear my telephone number, and I invite you to call and leave your confession of salvation on my voicemail. And now let me pray for those of you who are sick. I am going to pray for those who are tormented by nausea. And I ask in the name of Jesus, Father, according to Malachi chapter 4, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. To anyone suffering from nausea and the icky-picky feeling that it gives you, I ask the laser beams of Jesus will go in there, into the body, into the pancreas, into the liver, into the esophagus, into the stomach, into the intestines, colon, bladders, kidneys, and whatever's causing that divine order in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. At ease, at ease, at ease. Nausea, stop. perfect order. God relieves you from all distress, comforts you on every side. He restores health and cure to you, heals you of your wounds. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now you know nothing is given to you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock. I love you with all my heart. I feel your spirit out there. I feel spirits. I love you. I love you because you love the God I love, and you are trying with all your heart to be that perfect daughter of Zion, bringing souls in. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together again as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. A child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring.
This is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Against heaven and against your whole Thank you. Thank you.